Hello, everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of our twice weekly podcast. I'm Tom Shanklin.
I'm David Flatman. Hello.
Hello. David Flatman, who needs a new computer, I may add.
I don't know.
Well, you reset it a lot, is all I'm saying, okay?
I've got a 2014 MacBook Air.
What? I can't even remember that year. It's older than my dad.
I did have a go on a brand new MacBook Air last week, and it was very, very different.
Do you still have like floppy disks that you put it? Are you sort of plug into the side?
Yeah. Do you know what they get you with though, boy? You get a new one, and it doesn't accept the old chargers. You've got new chargers.
Yeah, you got Thunderports, I think they're called.
They're always bringing out new chargers, fella.
Yeah, but you can get adapters that are really cheap to fit into a USB, going to a Thunderport, but have sort of three or four USB connections. So
okay.
It's not all doom and gloom, mate. I'll tell you now, but maybe that should be your first purchase when you're back working, all right?
I've been thinking about getting a headset.
What?
For our pods. A headset, like a Janet Jackson mic.
Like a call center?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it annoying you holding up the mic to your mouth?
I think it'd look Joe Wicks. No, I'm just always looking to move the game on, fella. You know what I'm like.
That's fine, mate. But when you speak, I want you to hold the mic like Janet and Britney do.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep...
And I'm currently topless.
Yeah, and I want you moving around. I want you doing like a box step or a grapevine.
Yeah. Mm. And the water hose pipe thing, whatever it's called, the sprinkler. I don't know what they call it.
Yep, it's called the sprinkler, the worm.
Hey, how you getting on, fella?
All right. I mean, the news of 3 more weeks locked up, hit me for 6. Hit me for 5.5. Not quite 6.
Did it?
A little bit, yeah. I was expecting some positive news, but we're obviously hitting the peak, aren't we, at the moment? So
yeah.
It's the right call. But I tell you what I have improved on, mate, and that is my hellos. When I go out for a walk in the morning with my little one-year-old or the kids or just on my own, I'm brilliant at hellos, and I do different hellos. You know, sometimes I'll do a quiet sort of Johnny Wilkinson, Lee Halfpenny hello, like, hello, hello. Sometimes I'll sort of nod the head with a sharp hello. And other times I might do a ho-ho-ho, hello. Call out the Flatman.
Yeah.
And ruffle them up. The dogs, you know, just, oh, look at him. Look at, oh, God.
Is it a boy or a girl? She's beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Boy or girl, beautiful.
So, I'm bearing it really well at the moment. I'm doing a good job.
That's good. I'm actually writing a long overdue column, which I'm just writing for myself, on the different greeters and non-greeters you meet on walks tomorrow while my kids are doing homeschooling. And because I've got an inset day today, because I've only had 3 weeks off school. So need an inset day today, obviously. Yeah, so,
too right.
I know. So one of them is going to be the fake laugh greeter, which is, hiya, what's the joke? I walk past them and think, what was the joke? Are you laughing at me? Or hiya, it's like the nervous guy in Alan Partridge used to get in the
yes.
lift. Yes. Hiya, why are you laughing? Don't understand.
Just looks at him weirdly, doesn't he? They're in the lift. He's like,
don't understand.
What are you doing? All right, you're doing a column on that, are you?
Yeah, only for me though.
You'll probably string out 10,000 words, no problem.
I got nowhere to put it. I should send these things somewhere.
Two stories, 10,000 words.
Good. Yeah, I'm not very concise in as a rule, as you know, Tommy.
But yeah, so
do you know what I'm doing? Do you know what I'm doing after this pod? Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do some squats and bench in the back garden.
Have you got a rack for your bench?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Then I'm going to do prep some Savoy cabbage and pancetta for my din-dins. Then I'm going to go for a walk.
So you're just having pancetta and cabbage for dinner?
Yeah.
You've got to be having something else. Like
no, I'd have some vegetables with it. And that with a nice bit of Richard Burtonet, the baker. Nice bit of his toasted sourdough.
Are you off meat for a bit?
No, I go veggie. Quite a few days. I just don't go on about it.
Well, you do because you tweet everything you eat. So
Don't go on about it.
Have you ever been clapped? Has the whole stand in Lords ever stopped and just clapped you when you've gone to the cricket?
No.
Ah, it's a shame.
Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Do you know anyone that's ever happened to?
Jamie Roberts.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
When?
2009.
Post tour.
His words, the whole stand just stopped. They stopped watching cricket and they just clapped him. You know, a long clap as well. Longer than a Thursday clap.
Yeah.
Non-stop. A few whoops, lots of pats on the back, and eventually about 90 minutes later, they restarted the cricket.
Players stopped as well, did they, turned around and clapped. Mm. Wow.
Like Remembrance Sunday, it was. Just so you know as well, there's 35 more claps till Christmas. So, positive spin on it. You know what
I'm going to level with you now. I've done I keep missing the claps.
Set your alarm.
I'm in my sitting room like, what's that noise? Oh, shh. Leg it outside and finish off a quick clap. Well, no, guys, I never know what day it is.
Is everyone listening to the pod? No, it's not that. It can't be that.
No, they just watched the Lions 2009 rerun.
Yeah.
They're just clapping for that.
They just watched the cricket test in Lords in 2009.
Yeah.
I saw you did your 5K run. Well done. You
notice I didn't post a time.
Of course I did.
You know that.
Yeah.
I went with the kids, mate.
I can't run, so I'm not sure what to do. And I've been nominated by like 4 people now.
Why do you think I nominated you?
Because
I know you can't do it.
Yeah, well, that and you don't have that many sort of close friends on your network.
That's it.
None in the circle of trust, anyway.
No way.
Can I row it?
Yeah.
Is that acceptable?
That's what I thought you'd do.
Yeah, and I thought about that the other day then, but I thought...
It's quite a long way, that.
It is a long way. I'm much better on intervals rowing.
Just do a 5K, mate.
I don't
Surely
think
it's quicker
I can
than
row
running
for 5K.
It.
That's the problem.
Is it quicker than running it?
I think like 500 metres is like my max distance. Like Usain Bolt, you know, he'll... The training that he does for his 100, 200, I can't see him running over sort of 400 metres. Can you?
No.
Speed
ever.
Endurance. And,
no.
You know, I'm in that bracket as well.
Mm.
So...
I know. I did. I nominated Dylan Hartley and I got a very abusive message back, actually.
How long is 5K going to take on the rower as well? Like, you know, if you're 8K, say you did 8 minutes for 2K, which is like 7 minutes.
It's going to take 20 minutes then.
Yeah.
Just budget for half an hour and chill out. No, right. It's not a rush.
I wonder if I can do sort of 20 on, 20 off. Smash 5K.
Alex Brown did quite a good time, mind.
Yeah. But massive levers, a lot of weight.
Yeah, but
he'd run out of chain.
15 years at lock.
He'd run out of chain on the rower with his long pulls. I bet you.
Yeah, he would.
Especially the ones that sort of go all the way forward, then all the way back, and then pull it up to their chin.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, I'll take the kids. And
that's just an excuse. It's a good. You look like a great dad. You look like a hero. You still raise the same amount, or donate the same amount of money to raise the same amount of awareness. And you don't actually, like I finished yesterday, and yes, my baseball cap was a bit sweaty, but otherwise, I wasn't tired.
The thing that made me laugh was that everyone sort of holds up 5 fingers and puts who they're nominating in their fingers, but because you've got such short, small, stumpy hands,
yeah,
you can do it.
I also wouldn't quite know how to do that on Instagram stories, not good enough yet.
Well, you're a bright bloke, mate. It's not difficult.
Done. I did a couple of stories, didn't I?
Hey, you've improved.
I know.
After you asked me to post one, I said, I'm not your staff. Do it yourself. You've come on.
Things are going well, aren't they?
You are sort of MVP.
Yeah.
At the moment.
I'm trying to master all the blimmin' home learning stuff for the kids at the moment. It's not a minefield. It's a lot of tech and links and video calls and Microsoft Teams, downloading apps and logging in and creating accounts. There's a lot of that stuff going on at the moment.
Yeah, well, we're on Freud at the moment, me and my kids. So.
What's that?
We're also going through Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Flies, should I say.
What, the book?
Yeah.
God.
That's the level we're at.
It's pretty intense.
Slash gangster granny. Not really, mate. Steve Spears. Really. Yeah. There's a load of stuff on CBeebies, I think, or the BBC. BBC Bite-Size.
Bite-Size stuff. Yeah, there's loads of new stuff coming on. Looks, sounds amazing. Mm. David Attenborough is like doing nature lessons and stuff.
Is he?
Yeah, Danny Dyer is doing Henry VIII. True story. True story. There's loads of cool stuff on there.
I've seen a documentary about him going back to sort of the Henry VIII era before. He's just funny, mate. Like, he's got funny bones in him.
Have you seen the thing on WhatsApp? Have you heard the Danny Dyer thing version of Alexa?
No.
Oh, and it's very, very good. It's going around on WhatsApp. I'll dig it out and send it to you. But it's like Alexa, only Danny Dyer answers back and swears a lot. Very, very funny. You're right. He's just a funny man.
I'll have a go at that. Speaking of funny men, we've got one of my favourite people outside of rugby circles, maybe including rugby circles, Steve Spears. Yeah. He's going to be taking a call from us in about 10 minutes or so. Now, this guy is just incredibly funny. We've met him a couple of times. We've done a couple of videos with him a year or two ago for the BBC. But, I mean, you forget, you know, what an actual great actor he is and how much stuff he's been in. Like Star Wars, The Phantom Menace he's been in. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Extras
he's been on. The Musketeer in 2001. He's been on Cemetery Junction, another Cemetery Ricky Junction. Gervais film.
Upstart Crow, written by Ben Elton.
And then Stella. He's done things. Yeah, Stella. He's written and starred in The Tuckers, which was on BBC One. I'm not sure if it was just in Wales or it was Network, but you know, then he's been Doctors, The Bill, New Tricks. So the guy's got a massive CV, does loads of pantos, one of the funniest guys I've ever met. But the best thing he's done, which we're going to chat to him a little bit later, is a cross between being dullard on Extras or an online video on YouTube, which you can get called The Butcher. It's a five-minute video. If you type in The Butcher, Steve Spears, it's some of his finest work. Now, it's quite explicit, so probably listen to it with earphones on. But I mean, it's a fly on the wall little short story where Steve Spears plays a butcher. And
what do you call it? A monologue or a
soliloquy
or something like that. But it's very, very good. Very, very good. Indeed. Remember when we did that video with BBC with him and he arrived, and we've done loads of those videos at that point. And we a couple of weeks before that, I think it was Will Carling, and we had a really good time and good bloke and all that sort of
Josh
stuff.
Navidi.
Steve Spears turns up, Josh Navidi, loads of good, nice people. Steve Spears turns up and he's like, yeah, what I was thinking about this bit was, boys, and he's got print it all out, not rewritten it, but suggested different themes, suggested different ideas, redone the script with a few different ideas, and we're like, whoa, this guy is a professional.
Yeah.
And he made it 10 times as good as it was.
He'll take over this podcast now. You wait.
I hope so.
It was phenomenal, wasn't it? So
very, very good.
Can't wait to chat to him. What series you been watching? What's been on the Flatman TV?
I'll tell you what I'm watching. Oh, The Innocence Files.
Okay. What is that on Netflix?
Yeah, on Netters. It is good. It's about the Innocence Project, and it is campaigning, working to release. It's basically a team of lawyers and researchers and wonderful people who free the innocent in the States, free the wrongly convicted. And some of the stuff you see on it is, you know, guys getting released from death row, spending 20 to 30 years in prison for things not they didn't do, but they absolutely nowhere near did. There was no evidence. There was...
Yeah.
And it's then, but then it goes into a bit of detail on the things we rely on, like eyewitness accounts, which are unreliable. The human memory is completely unreliable. There's a brilliant podcast on that. I think it's Malcolm Gladwell. I'm not sure. But the human memory, I mean, I think it is Malcolm Gladwell, but it's completely unreliable. And we think, I think of our memory as basically like our eyes as like video recorders, but we misremember things the whole time. And there are reasons why. So there's a woman on there who is absolutely 100% confident, lovely woman, was attacked horribly, and she knew exactly who did it. And she identified him, then identified him again, absolutely no hesitation. And for decades afterwards, was absolutely certain it was the wrong man until DNA arrived. I think it was this one. And said it categorically was not him. It was this guy. And she looked at the guy who did it. And she said, I do not recognize anything about his face. But the guy who didn't do it, I would have put my life on him being the guy.
Really?
In fact, I did. Sent him to prison for life. It's amazing. Then they meet afterwards. It's amazing. And it's not her fault. That's the point. But we rely on it and it's completely unreliable.
I always remember, I can't remember the case, who got murdered, but there was a murder in a flat in Bristol and the landlord came downstairs in front of the TV cameras and he just looked the shadiest bloke ever. And everyone was like, that, he's done it. It's definitely him. Look at him. He just had a look.
Yep.
And it wasn't. But you would have put money on that as well, because that, you know, especially with murders, I mean, a lot of the people they think did it, they'll put in front of a camera straight away to see how they react, to see if there's a bit of gloating, to see, you know, their body language in front of the camera.
That was made into a TV series, that murder.
Okay.
And I remember when that... Oh, hang on, my Apple Watch is talking to me, shut up. That was made into a...
I thought you lived on the robot then.
Oh, no, a TV series that...
R2-D2,
murder. And it was brilliant, right? The acting in it... Was it Martin Sheen? I can't remember. It was absolutely brilliant. Honestly, mate, dig it out. It is brilliant. It'll be on iPlayer or something. And I remember it really well because, weirdly, I just know the area and know the street and know exactly where it was and that kind of stuff. So it sort of rings a bell.
Scoped it out, did you?
Yeah, and... He came on screen and I did it. I was new to Twitter at that point and I just said, oh my God, I said one of those stupid things you should never say. And we all, you know, we all learn at different rates.
It was him.
And I said, oh God, how creepy is that guy? And then Kai Horseman, who was at Worcester then, I think, then Chiefs, he tweeted back and said, mate, what if you didn't do it? And I was like, yeah, actually really good point. I didn't really mean that. But yeah, I've done it on Twitter now. So we all make mistakes, but he didn't do it. And it completely changed his life. And it is the most brilliant little mini series. You should watch it, fella. Everyone should watch it.
I'm into it. I've been watching series 3 of Fowder.
Oh yeah, good, eh?
Homeland, I got one more episode left on series 8, the 12th one. That's been
fantastic.
You're
cracking on, fella.
Yeah. Watched the 2009 semi-final between Cardiff Blues and Leicester.
Is that the kickoff one?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the game, but I watched the kickoff.
Yeah,
the penalty shootout. Oh, mate. So funny. So funny. I mean, you just wish Martin Williams had got his kick, because to see front row, second row, back row attempting, you know, a penalty shot in front of the post would have just been pure comedy value.
Yeah.
Gutted. Because it would have had to go through
the team. We've said it before on this pod, but if there's one forward you're back to get that kick, it's him.
Oh, I know. But leans back, tries to hook it, takes like a corner, basically. But people forget Tom James missed his as well. Had a chance to win it. And also, I'm going to crack into The Last Dance, Michael Jordan documentary.
Oh, yeah.
There's two episodes that have been released by Netflix. I can't wait to get into that.
Do you see that tweet from the night about Nike?
Yeah. Yeah.
The get-out clauses they had when they signed up Michael Jordan. They could get out of the contract if he didn't win Rookie of the Year, won it. Get out of the contract if he didn't sell $4 million worth of trainers in the first year or something, sold $70 million worth in 2 months.
Incredible.
And then would he be either something like MVP and top scorer or something? It's like, yep, did both.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Unreal. So, yeah, that's going to be really good. What a legend he was as well.
Crikey. Was he a good bloke?
Yeah, no, we got on all right. Sometimes it'd be a little bit about him when we met up for drinks. You know, you'd have to play to his ego a little bit. It'll turn everything into him. Stories.
Oh,
about
Mike,
him.
Tell us about that time.
Yeah,
he loves that, doesn't he?
You know, when you say you get like a new dog, or you talk, and he'll talk about the time he like adopted tigers, ligers.
Yeah, I've got a theory on legends.
Okay.
I think it's harder to become a proper icon legend now than it was then, partly because everyone is so visible. So everyone is visible to everyone.
So you scrutinise more.
You scrutinise so much more than you used to be. So we have, you know, we know a lot more about Wayne Rooney's private life than we do about Michael Jordan's. We know a lot more about Ronaldo, even though he seems to want to keep himself private, or Messi's tax affairs or whatever. We know a lot about people. Mm. And I'm a big sports fan, love Michael Jordan, couldn't tell you the first thing about his personal life. Maybe it's all on Google, whatever, but it's not been in front of us the whole time. Mm. I wonder if social media has just made it harder, easier to become high profile, yeah, harder to become a bona fide legend.
That is true. But then also it's whether, I suppose, the press have got some sort of vendetta against you as well. And whether it's worth, you know, it's how likable you are, I suppose, as well. Maradona, legend, but he's had a few headlines.
Yeah, equally, I always think, you know, vendetta's a funny one, an odd one, because actually, if I'm in the media, which I guess we are, but we're not news journalists, you know, it is your, and you have news, and it is your job to report the news. Yeah. I'm not talking about paparazzi. I'm talking about, you know, this superstar caught doing drugs in a nightclub. You write it. You know, it's kind of, I guess there's always a, there's always an
yeah, but some people get away with it. Some people get away with it easier than others. You know, there's a huge factor of being likable in the press and likable in the media. You know, some things are more quickly swept under the carpet than others.
Don't suppose you read the thing in the Sunday Times yesterday, did you? Basically, about Boris Johnson and the government's handling of the initial stages of.
I haven't had time to read it yet, but I mean. Yeah, let's try and keep this positive.
Punchy. It's
also punchy. Also, I've got something else to read about. There are something like 6 or 7 people in China that try to expose this outbreak.
What happened to them?
Early. Well, nobody knows. Mm. Nobody knows. A few are dead and others can't be found.
What I've noticed is, like, on the odd, very rare occasion that I've retweeted an article from the Times or the Sunday Times about rugby or whatever, people really object to the fact that it's behind a paywall. They're like, oh, it's all right for you. And one guy said to me, it's all right for you. We can't afford it. I said, okay, that's £10 a month I choose to spend on that. That's fine. And I'm lucky to be able to do it. Equally, you can take a couple of free articles or a free article and just read it if you want. You can do a free trial and no obligation to sign up. I don't work for the Times, by the way. It's an odd thing, but people, I think, these days expect top-of-the-range journalism to always be free, and I think it just doesn't work like that.
Well, if you want to read the Times, you've got to buy it from a newspaper shop anyway. So
yeah, or get an app and pay for the app, but it's like just, it's I don't know, it's an odd notion that it should be for free.
But it's also a very really well-respected paper as well, so, you know, I mostly read it for the sport.
Me too, actually.
Because I think they've got some of the best sport correspondents. So,
but the best sport isn't free. You don't go and watch Liverpool for free, you know.
Yeah.
You have to pay. You have to pay every time you go. It's like it's. I find it really odd that people think it should be free. Equally, there are other papers with paid subscriptions. I don't have subscriptions to because I don't want to spend that much money every month on newspaper apps. But
do you? Anyway, do you still subscribe to Reader's Wise?
Yeah, God, yeah.
Direct debit.
Yeah, well, gold member now. I get a month a year free now. Okay. So that's good stuff.
Right, shall we give Steve a call?
Let's speak to him, shall we? Let's do it.
Stephen Spears. How are you?
His little thing slipped up there. I'm right, mate. I'm not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, I've been better, but...
You've been better.
What can you do, eh?
Yeah. Well, you're used to isolation, Shanks. You were never really near that back line at all.
He doesn't get invited to that many places, like socially.
Not anymore. It's all...
Oh, hey, I've got to say, though, watching the match the other day, they've been re-showing some stuff. No, come on, I want to start with a positive. All right. What do you think of Jonathan Davis in that line? Sure. 2017.
Wasn't he just a different level? It took Welsh Ed to play to another level entirely.
Unplayable.
He?
But I tell you what,
great.
I tell you what, boys. You ask him to chase a kick on the wing and stop a quick throw in, he's knackered.
Yeah.
He's absolutely knackered.
So. Yeah. Thing is, Steve, there's a lot to be said for just continually turning up at work.
Yeah.
Just keep turning up and eventually you will get a job.
Well, that's basically about my career, really.
Exactly.
You just knock on the door, louder, desperation, and eventually they let you in.
Yeah, well, you know, you were the head, you were a taxi driver, you were a BMW man.
Butcher.
Porthos, yeah. Tinker. Yeah.
Not a name mentioned in any of those characters.
No. Sloan.
Taxi man.
Social worker. But you've also done some incredible stuff as well. I mean, what would you say was your
where
first,
did you take that out?
You got a lot of time on his hands.
I had to go to the library, to the archives. What would you say your first big break was in acting?
Acting? I did have, at one point, I had quite a sort of flourishing film career.
Yeah.
I was over in America for a while doing things. I did Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I did Pirates of the Caribbean. I did the Musketeer. That I did quite a few things over there. And there was a point I was thinking when my agent was trying to get me to go over there to live, you know. So was my wife, actually. But no, I remember having an interview with the agents over there.
Yeah.
And I remember looking around and I said to the agent, I said, where are all the children? It's like, you know, it was like Kitty Bang Bang. You didn't see any kids there yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah, I know. And I thought, where are all the kids? So I couldn't see me fit in with a young family and all the rest of it. But no, there was a point at which I had this sort of film career going and it was great. And I remember... I remember spending a lot of time out there back and forth, and it was interesting. You know, I was doing Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
At the same time, I was doing extras over here, actually, with Ricky.
And
I remember thinking at the time, you know, you're over there, and you're very much a small cog in a massive wheel. 10 days to film some sequence where a kraken comes out and eats you and all this nonsense, and they're cranes. They're not real, by the way, Tom, these krakens.
Okay.
No, they're not fellas. They're special effects and that. And, you know, and I was thinking, well, it's, you know, 10 days, you get a minute if you're on screen, it's a lot of money, you're not part of it, really. But then you go and do something like extras and comedy, and you're engaged and you're part of it, and you're working and you're doing what you're supposed to be good at.
So, how did you get that role then on extras as Dullard?
I auditioned for that.
Oh, just be yourself, was it?
Yeah, just auditioned for it, yeah.
Is that Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant sitting behind a desk with and a couple of nerds looking at you and shaking their heads, or what is it?
That's pretty much it, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty much it, yeah. They just sit there. It's like any comedy casting. I mean, comedy castings are very serious, and comedy is very... You're basically, you're walking, you do your stuff. People just tend to look at you as you're the unfunniest thing, or like a piece of shite on their shoe that has just come in. Nod, and you don't know really whether it's gone down or not. And then they give you a booking or not. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's obviously it's a cult series, that Extras. Do you still get recognised a lot in the street for being Dullard, or is it other characters that you've played?
Yeah, no, I mean, that one especially, it's always what's current of what I'm doing, that what's been on recently. But
yeah.
There's real aficionados of that sort of stuff, and you know, and they know the lines. They know the lines more than I know the lines. They recognise you, even though it's God knows how long ago. It was quite a sort of cult episode within it as well.
Yeah,
and I've just done a bit on Afterlife with Ricky. You know,
have you? Oh, series 2. Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Series 2. Yeah, yeah, it's cracking. And you know, it's difficult with him in terms of we're both quite gigglers. You know, we both laugh a bit. And the corpse and stakes are high when we're together.
Yeah.
he goes very quickly with me for some reason. but also the way he works is, so if you're, you know, as in life and as when we're chatting now, there's little objections and people. So if you're doing a speech, and I had quite a long speech in this Afterlife, and then what Ricky does is he'll just interject as you're doing your speech. So you'll be doing something, you'll go, right. And the little thing he's putting in. And I'm like, oh, fuck it, right? I'm gone now.
So, who broke first? Who broke first then when you're filming your scenes with Ricky?
Ricky. Oh, Christ. Yeah. No, go right. Yeah, straight away. I'm sort of close behind, mind you. when we did the sequence in Extras, where we both, when I take Ricky out to dinner and invite him to see We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
We Will Rock You. And that sequence, eating the soup there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think eventually we filmed it with neither of us actually. There's very few two shots if you look. Yeah. There's one shot of
one. Singles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You couldn't use this as a two because it was practically impossible. And Steve was behind the monitor. And Steve was laughing in the beginning, but after about 3 hours of this, he was like, come on, guys.
He's not happy anymore. Yeah, it wears thin. So you're basically like a pair of children.
Yeah.
It used to be years ago, Steve, this is about you, but I'm the same as you. I'm a giggler.
Yeah.
And Julian White, the old England prop, was also a serious giggler and the funniest man ever. Yeah. Except you two. And we just look at each other and laugh. And in the end, we were so disruptive in England squad meetings that we were both on about 7 or 8 caps. I didn't get any more and he got another 40. So I think they just got rid of me because I was ruining the meetings. That's the only explanation I've got, mate. It cannot have been talent.
One of the hardest things Flats and I had to do was a scene with Andy Powell before. A little video we did.
Oh, Steve. Oh.
Where you going?
All he's going to do is drive up to the side of the car in a golf buggy and ask us for directions, but we just couldn't film it.
Which way to the M4? Finished. Couldn't handle it.
It comes up. He goes, "Hey, Dave." So no, you can't call him Dave. You're not meant to know us.
And anyway, it's Flats because it's Flats and Shanks and each other thing. And he was like, "Dave." Oh, that was it. Finished. And then he about take 10, and he's like, he's worn out the grass on this golf buggy, so he's just putting his foot down, and he's just wheel spinning and doing donuts.
And you know, but the worst thing with that is when you're in that situation, you just know it gets to the point that you're aware that he's coming. You're thinking, I know he's coming now. He's coming up on the next. You can sort of feel that he's coming. You can't look. You can, even if you catch sight of like a shirt sleeve or something, you're gone.
Finished. Your role in Afterlife then, are you still auditioning or are you at the point now where you get a call from Ricky Gervais and he says, come and be in this thing?
Yeah, no, he calls now, which is great. And he did after Extras, actually. We did a film called Cemetery Junction.
Brilliant film. Loved it.
Yeah.
You tell a great joke about Noddy, but we won't say it on here. It's quite explicit.
It's one of the best jokes,
And then I'd worked with Steve as well after. And then he just rang and said, look, I've written this character. Would you like to do it? And he sent the stuff through and it was fantastic. And so, it was a real joy. I was up there with him. End of last year. So I think it's coming out soon, actually, Bones.
It is, yeah.
This month, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's an interesting one because you obviously work with him. He's sort of a colleague. I guess you two are mates now and stuff. And he's one of those guys where it's like you drive along the motorway and you see 10,000 cat's eyes put into the road and you think, who invented those? It's so obvious.
Yes.
And you watch Ricky Gervais things and think, well, surely someone else could produce stuff that's this good because it doesn't seem that complicated. He's not producing documentaries, but you think hardly anyone is able to produce things on the level that he is repeatedly. So do you look at him as a genius as well as us?
Yeah, he's so skilled. He's so crafted. And, you know, when we were doing, he's directing Afterlife. He's writing Afterlife. He's the star of Afterlife. And he's producing Afterlife. So when I was stood opposite him doing that, well, I won't tell you what the character is. It's a sort of guest. But when I'm stood opposite him, so he's the other side of the camera, close to the camera. So he's acting opposite you.
Yeah.
But you can see he's self-editing it as he's going along. So you've got to stop and give direction. He set up the camera anyway. So he's got about 3 or 4 hats on at the same time. And when I was doing, you know, the Tuckers recently, I just knew that I wouldn't be able to. I'd written it and I was leading in it and I just didn't want to direct it as well.
Yeah.
And I think that it takes a certain type of person to be able to do that at that level. And I do think it's that element and the level of control he has.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's got a really good radar for spotting what's shite very quickly. And I think that that's part of the success, really.
There'll be a lot of people listening to this, Steve, that don't know what the Tuckers is. Do you want to give us a little explanation about what you've done, what you've written?
Thanks for that, John.
Little plug for you.
I don't know if that's a plug or not, Tom, really. Because most
people,
they would say something like, Well, listen, the text is fantastic, and obviously a lot of people have seen it. I've now been leaded with, well, there's a lot of people that won't give a flying fuck about it. Quite frankly, ain't heard of it, never seen it, no intention of it. But I do feel that after the way you've introduced it, I'll change that.
Thing is with Flats, he's got such posh mates and such posh followers that they wouldn't watch anything with a bloke on a mobility scooter.
I wanted to ask you if it was filmed in... I look at it and I'm guessing it was filmed in Wales. Was it in Merthyr?
Well, no, it wasn't in Merthyr. It's in a place called St. Genevieve, which is just sort of one of the first valleys you can get to out of Cardiff. Yeah, and it's picturesque. It's basically a story about a family called the Tuckers, bit ragged, sort of coping, trying to survive in tough circumstances. And it's just about them, really, and they're sort of like a little look into their lives. It's based Well, I say Lucy, but it's based on my family as when I was a kid.
Oh, is it? Right.
Now, yeah. you're my second favourite actor in The Tuckers. Yeah. Because your mother, the lady who plays your mother.
She's great.
She's the script that you've written for her is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Bit of a dirty mouth on her.
Yeah, she has.
Quite sexual.
Yeah. She's great. Lynn Hunter, I've been aware of her. She was on my radar for quite a while when I was doing things. I wanted to get her in at some point. And that was a nice thing, really. I could get in people I just really trusted and knew.
Yeah.
Bob Poos, you know, magnificent.
Brilliant.
He plays Murphy. I did have a Grandpa Murphy that did live in the outside toilet. He wouldn't come in the house. From a family of travellers. He wouldn't come in at all. Like, you'd have to drag him kicking and screaming indoors. I can't really say who Glenn's based on because he's a close family member and
never talked to him. Yeah, to make it political. Watching it, right, it got me to a point where, you know, when someone says, I was going to get you a present. You'd have loved that, wouldn't you? But I didn't. I was going to do something that I thought was really funny and just didn't. Maybe I will do after lockdown. But there's a shop in Bath where I remember from when I had injuries back when I was a rugby player, and you can hire for like 11 quid a day a mobility scooter, basically. So I took it around town a few times, and it was brilliant because I had a leg in a cast and whatever, couldn't walk.
Yeah,
so I got the, and I actually Googled it, and the shop is still there, and it's gone up to like £13 a day. I was just going to get one, bring it home, and then just film myself going from my front door to next door and asking for a pint of milk and then reversing it back. Yeah. And just send it to you just for my own amusement.
Oh, I'd love that. Do that.
I'll do that.
You bought an electric bike instead, didn't you, for 10 grand? So
it's been out on BBC Wales and it's on iPlayer now.
Yeah.
I am pleased to say that it's had a fantastic response, you know, on social media, and the public seem to have really taken to it. So it's had great viewing figures here and really big viewing figures on iPlayer. So
it's funny and people like, it's just funny and it's easily funny. Like you can't imagine someone who wouldn't laugh at it. That's what I always think when I watch good comedies. Like, we're kissing your ass now. You're not a great bloke. But anyway, there you go.
You've
it's a sitcom. It's unashamedly what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing that's making any sort of big social commentary. It's just a sitcom, which is there for you to have a laugh on a Friday night. You know?
So you're at home, right? You're isolated. What are you doing with your time now? Are you writing scripts? Are you writing a cookbook with some of the...
All right.
Crisps, some hula hoops, cheese.
Yeah, well, what happened was I decided to share some of my lockdown recipes on Twitter. And I just thought of quite a simple one, which is you get a piece of bread, butter it, right to the edges, like right to the side. And then you put a load of Doritos on it. Then get the other piece of bread and butter that to the edges, you know, proper. And you put it on top, and I call it Dorito Sandwich.
Right.
So it went down quite well. I thought that's not bad. So I started to share some of my other recipes. My lettuce wrap surprise, which is a lettuce, one of those foldy lettuces, not a crispy one. And in the middle of that, you put some hula hoops, grated cheese, mayonnaise. You roll it up like a cigar. Top of your face is not looking good there. And then you eat it. Lettuce wrap surprise. The surprise being It really isn't as shit as it sounds. When you're doing a bit of fun. I finished off with my ultimate half and half, which is a sandwich of hula hoops, knickknacks, grated cheese and mayonnaise. There is a theme in this about things.
Yeah.
The theme being, like all great chefs, that's my signature dish. The theme being mayonnaise, cheese and crisps.
Mm, okay.
But I think I'm going to call the book, Eat Your Way to an Early Heart Attack. You won't have to worry about what's going on in the world if you follow my recipes.
No, I'm thinking that. I recently hit 40, Steve, and I'm thinking, would I want to go out before I hit 50 having eaten really well? Or do I want to be really boring? And realistically, a man of my bulk isn't going to make 80. So what I don't know. I'm 50-50 at the moment. Do you know what I did the other day, though? You recommended...
Oh, I saw that.
You recommended a glaze, a rub for my glaze for my roast duck, and I used it. Yeah. Took it and used it. It's brilliant.
What was it like? Good?
Lush. Absolutely lush.
Oh, I've got to say, mate, that looked absolutely stunning. That's a great machine you got there. It's a smoker as well.
It's just a Kamado Joe, but it's just a grill, but you've got a little attachment you stick on it with a rotisserie, and rotisserie, because it spins itself around slowly, hardly any drips come off it, so it bastes itself. Yeah. It's really nice.
You said that now, Flats, but you didn't tag Steve in your post with a duck.
I did.
Wow. Yeah, I saw it. It is fantastic.
The original post or not?
I think, I can't remember. No,
you're fake, mate. We got a guy called Tom Biggs, Steve, right, who used to play rugby. He's like Mick Hucknall on steroids, basically. Or slash protein. But he wants to know, and he's a listener of the pod, your best film in location and favourite film franchise, Star Wars or Pirates of the Caribbean?
Pirates.
Yep.
I never really got Star Wars. I'm more of a Star Trek person. And I love Star Trek, especially Voyager. I think it's fantastic, all of that series.
Okay.
But we were in... when we were doing Pirates, it was great because I got to go to, when I was doing it, it was the second one. So we were actually filming in the Caribbean, you know. And so I got to go to St. Vincent and Becqui and, all of the big islands. Lovely. It was just beautiful. Becqui was the most incredible little island. So, definitely Pirates of the Caribbean. That was a great time, that was.
We had a little chat before you come on. We're just telling people about some of the stuff you've been in. And one of Flats and my favourite sort of sketches that you've done has to be The Butcher. I remember you showed, first time I met Steve properly, we did a, we learned to speak Welsh. We tried to learn to speak Welsh for a week.
We did.
In McCuntleth. I can't even say the word.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
And we realised at the end of it, really, of this week, that it's very difficult to learn Welsh when you're staying up till 3 or 4 in the morning, drinking organic wine. Yeah. And... you know, I'm finding that,
I thought that might help.
The life and story of Billy Joel. Which, but you show me The Butcher there. Now, I'll tweet a link later to show everyone and point them in the right direction. But was that all of your thinking? You know, was it based on a character you knew? Because it's wonderful, mate. It's one of the best 5 minutes of TV I've seen.
It is funny. I was asked to do that by people I'd worked with, Joe Wilkinson and David Earle. David's in Afterlife. He does quite a bit of Ricky stuff as well. He plays this character called Brian Gittins, which is the same sort of former character in whatever he does. And Joe Wilkinson, they said, look, we've got this idea of a butcher. It was just miserable.
Yeah.
And condemned to this shop. And I just went there on a Saturday morning, where it was closed, on a Sunday morning. And we just started, you know, they'd written this little script and it was playing around with it. And, you know, I do like it. It's difficult to say without swearing what it's
about. Yeah, I mean, put some earphones in if you're going to watch it, is what I would say.
Yeah. Not
but
for the
turn
kids.
It up. It is. Yeah. How old is it? When was that?
It's got to be 5 years now, perhaps.
Yeah, I love it. That's brilliant. I've got a question for you, which is, you know, when you... actually, I won't bother explaining the question. I'll just ask it. Yeah. Who's your favourite actor? Is that possible?
I had a great time. Patrick Swayze.
Oh!
It was brilliant. It was very late. When doing my filming time, I was doing a film in Budapest with Billy Zane and Michael Madsen. Right, yeah. It's called The Last Drop. If you get a chance, you can get out on DVD and that.
Okay.
And I was playing this German accountant that sort of sounded, now I look back at it, a bit like he came from somewhere between Hamburg and Treorchy. It's not.
Guten Tag, Bert. Danke, Bert.
Danke. Crack it.
Danke. What'd you call me?
Oh, what was the lager?
So I must. So he's, anyway. So there we are. It's a skill to do that sort of accent. And I was doing it. Michael Madsen, who was starring Billy Zane, but my agent had double booked me, and I was also supposed to be doing this film called Icon with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah,
in which I play a Russian. Now my Russian
versatile.
Is a little bit, my Russian is, like, I'd say, much more of the Murther edge than the actual.
Moscow,
yeah, Moscow. It's more Murther than Moscow, but again, you know, worth a look just to see the incredible range I have. So I was booked. My agent would get me out anyway. He's trying to get me out now. I mean, he's like one of those Americans, like with placards.
Yeah, yeah.
Get in work. So he double booked me and didn't tell them. So they both producers were going bonkers. But when I was anyway, they let me off to do 2 days with Patrick. So I had a car come and pick me up. And he said, my agent said, it's fine. He said, no, we can do this easy. He said, you're just going to go on in the car in Budapest. They're going to pop you across to Sofia. Pop you across. That's about 12 hours.
Yeah.
12 hours. They pop you across here. So I spent the whole night just going this terrible taxi drive, and to work with Patrick Swayze. So as I go, Michael Madsen, who'd, by the way, had been drinking about a bottle of tequila a day at this point, wasn't really remembering nights very well. And so he said, hey, so where are you going? What's happening? Who are you going to see? So I'm going to see Patrick Swayze. He went, crazy Swayze. I said, yeah. I said, crazy. He said, you fucking tell this man. He said, you tell crazy. You go up to him, you say, you're crazy Swayze. You tell him, I told him this. I went, oh, okay, all right. So he said, I want to know what he says. So I'm in the taxi driver going on 12 hours. Oh, fucking, I've not met Patrick Swayze, and I've got to go up and say, you're crazy Swayze. You know, and it's a bit much in it, so. Anyway, we get there to 12 hours, get into Sofia, get the studio, get my costume on. This is Patrick. Goes, hey. So I said, hey, crazy Swayze. You're crazy Swayze. He looked at me and he said, you've been fucking talking to Mad Dog Madsen. I said, Mad Dog? He said, you go back to that Mad Dog Madsen. You tell him he's fucking insane. Right? So I spent these two films driving back and forth with messages between Madsen and Mad Dog and Crazy, as I know them now. And basically, a bit of a wind-up because they were big mates and they used to drink together with Robert Downey Jr. And they were quite known for tearing it up.
Yeah.
But they'd obviously seen me as some, you know, little boy from Germany come Hamburg from Moscow, that they thought, well, we'll send him on a little run around.
Moscow Tidfield.
Oh, yeah. they basically sent me around all of my accents.
That's perfect. What's next for you, Steve? I know post-lockdown, have you got anything in the diary?
Yeah.
Are you unemployed like us?
It's terrible, isn't it?
Unemployable.
Yeah, my agent said he'd booked me into the new theatre in Cardiff for Friday, insisting I go to work. I said, nobody come. He said, nobody comes anyway. Now, I'm writing. I'm very lucky. When I was in the West End doing Upstart Crow, the Ben Elton comedy, when they checked us all out. And I'm glad they did because, you know when you sort of get a self-preservation instinct, and I was on that tube going, this is wrong, shouldn't be
getting out of here. Yeah.
So I was glad when they sent us out. I was halfway through putting my codpiece on when they said go. Well, I've never got out of a codpiece quicker in my life, to be honest with you.
Should have kept it on.
Yeah. Well, I bought it back for you, Tom, obviously.
You'll finish that after lockdown, will you? You think?
Yeah, absolutely. No, because we were due to run until end of April, I think, something like that. So
okay.
But I was very lucky that I had a project that I'm writing at the moment, which, like all actors who've got nothing on, say they can't talk about it.
Yeah.
I genuinely can't.
Are we in it? Are we, Shanks and I, in it?
You are now, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now I know that you're fans of the Tuckers. I don't see why you can't pass me on your own mobility scooter.
Now you know that we're really, really cheap. That could work.
And I'm really good.
I reckon I could do a better Welsh accent than Shanks, mind.
I'm great at stealing as well.
No, I gotta say that.
Just call me Fagan.
the worst introduction to a show to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
yeah.
Nobody would have heard of this. He's sick of Shanks.
Yeah, just got out of prison for some pretty nasty stuff. Here's Steve Spears, everyone.
We can't big you up too much, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
True, actually.
But anyway, look, mate, thanks for chatting to us.
Pleasure.
Cheers, Steve. Lovely.
Look forward to having a drink with you when this period is over, because I'm not turning down any social after this.
Oh, no. No, it's going to be fantastic.
YOLO.
It's going to be great, isn't it?
Yeah. I think they're thinking, I don't know when they're going to open, but when those pubs open, I think it's going to be like an international day for about a month, isn't it? You know,
the Oktoberfest everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Six deep at the bar, double rounding, the toilet's full of piss. It'd be great.
It'd be perfect, wouldn't it? It'd be perfect.
It'd be a happy day. Yeah.
Hey, good luck. Good luck. Keep eating.
Hey, nice one, Steve.
Cheers, Steve. Well done, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, fellas. Good to see you.
Cheers, good luck with the Tuckers.
Bye. Ta-da, mate.
Mate, so good chatting to Steve Spears, isn't it?
Yeah, he's... He's great because he's one of our favourite comedic actors, but he's also a really nice man, which is lovely.
I know.
Great fun to talk to. You talked to him all day, couldn't you?
I feel a little bit bad. I didn't big up the Tuckers as much as I probably should have. But then, you know, you don't want him to get a big head, do you? And he just becomes arrogant like all our other actor friends.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais always texting me and like he's FaceTiming me during lockdown and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, sometimes...
Doesn't even call him Gervais, just calls him Ricky.
Calls him Richard and Ricardo. And, you know, sometimes it takes a mate, a proper mate like you, to bring someone back down to earth and tell them that no one knows what their program is.
Exactly. Exactly.
Doesn't it?
Look, we're going to go out for a beer with him because, as I said, I'm not turning down any social after this period.
Will you invite me to come out with Steve Spears? Because he would invite you, but he wouldn't have my number. So can you invite me so I can come?
He'd like you as well because you like the same size. So...
Yeah, exactly. We look the same. We look the same.
And he wouldn't like just going out with two sort of highly tuned athletes like myself and Tom Evans.
Yeah.
But you have to invite me with Jason Fox, though.
All right, you invite me with Spearsy. I'll enjoy you. I'll invite you with Fox.
Or though. We could just amalgamate them both. Got us a foursome.
We'll have to have bodyguards when we go out with Foxy, won't we?
Mate, imagine the attention, the press.
That he and I are going to get.
Pub to pub.
The attention he and I are going to get. Oh.
No.
It's going to be, it won't be a nightmare. It'll be great. We'll love it. Pretend it's a nightmare.
Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? It's got to be somewhere that serves food. It's got to be somewhere.
Hire a whole restaurant out or something.
It's got to be somewhere that serves alcohol and somewhere where you can have a fight and not get in trouble.
Five Guys pizza. Burgers, sorry. Five Guys.
Because there's no point going out with someone like Foxy if you're not going to get in trouble. And he can sort it out then, can't he? No problem.
Wait for someone to step out of line in a kebab shop, chin them, pressure points, done.
I don't even think he used to do that. It'd just be a red dot on them, wouldn't there?
Oh, yeah, of course they would.
Yeah. All right, fella. Yeah. Well, well done.
We don't want to see anyone die, but if someone is like attacking an OAP or something and Foxy puts them down, that'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Use his plastic.
Because who'd miss him?
And use plastic ties then for the wrists.
Yeah, because who'd miss him? Do you know what I mean?
No one.
Pressure points. All right, good luck to you, fella.
Just before we go, Flats, I have to mention that it is Wayne Barnes' birthday today. I'm sure, I think he's 46 or 47.
He's 45. He's 45, Shanks.
Okay, 45.
Don't stitch him up. He's 45.
So, Barnesy, happy birthday. I know you've got a lot of presents from your lovely wife, Polly, and your family and everything. They were left on your door. I know you got a load of vouchers for Millets. Ray Mears' autobiography. Some Solomon trainers, a mallet for a load of tent pegs that you needed because it's hurting your fingers and feet, putting them into the ground, a utility belt. He also got some Gore-Tex socks.
Gore-Tex socks, brilliant. I got him a Leatherman.
Oh, yeah.
A Leatherman pocket tool. I've always called them Barnesies. I've always called them Wayne Barnesies because they are complete tools, aren't they?
That's where it comes from, is it?
Yeah.
The complete tool.
Barnesies.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I got him some caffeine shampoo because...
Yeah, that will help.
Looks like he needs it.
It's just a shame, jokes aside, that he's had to announce his retirement during lockdown, isn't it? But anyway, he's been the best ref in the world for a while now.
I thought he retired after the World Cup semi-final.
He did, but it kind of went under the radar. But he's now officially retired, Barnsley. Gotcha. So that is he'll be missed, won't he? By some.
Yeah.
Right. He will miss it.
I think it'll be missed by sort of fellow referees that are after legal advice. You know,
he will miss refereeing is really the thing. But anyway, he's retired now. He's 45. Happy birthday, Barnsley.
Three cheers for Barnsley. All right.
Hip hip. See you guys.
Bye bye.